Hey everybody! Welcome to Sass and the Beard 2.0. If you noticed, Heather, at your comment there, it wasn't me. Last week, when Kristen wasn't here, all of the technology worked perfectly. And I take full credit for that.
That's crap, man.
I talked about my technology green thumb last week. See, you still have your sound on. We have way too many devices here at Sass and the Beard.
This is a low-tech operation, and I'm proud of it either way.
Hey, for those of you tuning in, we have some breaking news. For those who weren't able to watch this school board meeting or attend the school board meeting, we just want you to be aware that in that meeting, the school board voted to have a 30-day mask mandate for students starting from day one of the day that school starts. And I don't know.
It was pre-K through 12th grade, yeah. And teachers and staff, yeah. Everybody, and visitors, they said. Now, yeah. They did say there would be, you know, that building administrators could make allowances for individual cases. But I was really impressed with the number of people that were there for both sides. I mean, there were passionate people on both sides of the issue speaking out. And so, you know, I mean, I think the vote was 4-1, right?
Yes, 4-1.
In favor of it?
Yeah, so. There were 6 board members in attendance, including the chair. And there were 5 votes. So the chair did not vote for some reason. I don't understand.
Well, typically chair doesn't vote, but I thought... Yeah. I don't know. Anyways, I didn't catch that part of it, so I'm not going to comment because I just didn't catch it. So
yeah.
School masks are going to be in place. This is something that's, you know, that we saw last week happen where there was a special session, which was insanity, and I'm still tired. I haven't caught up yet from it. And then the legislature didn't really do anything with the mask mandate at that point. But then Judge Tim Fox out of Pulaski County, which a lot of people in Polk County are familiar with that name if you followed the casino, because he's been ruling on cases in that as well. But Judge Tim Fox ruled on a preliminary injunction to allow schools to implement mask mandates. Excuse me. And also for county judges, because that was a party to the case, was that counties, that it was unconstitutional because it changed the powers of the county judge, which is actually something we're going to talk about later on the casino issue.
Yeah, so we have a lot to talk about tonight, but we wanted to clarify and make sure that those of you who were watching or listening on the podcast, shout out to our podcast, that you knew and were aware that that decision had been made tonight. They also talked about deciding whether or not they were going to provide sick days for teachers and people employed at the district with things like COVID, quarantines, and being sick from COVID. So they did vote on a 10-day stipend of sick days, for COVID specifically for each employee. So maybe not as kind of broad and open as it was last year, but now there's more of a specific, you get 10 free sick days if those days are sick because of COVID. Then they also were discussing providing a $500 bonus to all vaccinated staff if they'd been vaccinated within, like a 2-month or...
That part was kind of wrapping up as we were...
made that decision. So if you watched and are just now joining us, or if you caught the end of that discussion, please comment their decision here. So that way we can be aware and let people know about that as well. So if you're a teacher and you want to get vaccinated, there's a potential to get $500 out of it.
Yeah. There was some discussion. About the time we had to step away from the meeting to get ready for this, one of the board members was talking about how, well, like, what if people who don't believe they should get vaccinated. What if they want the $500? It was like, well, that, it kind of removes the incentive defeats, part of this, yeah, doesn't it? You know,
kind of defeats the purpose,
yeah,
of creating an incentive.
I mean, that's just kind of like giving everybody $500.
Yeah. Well,
but right. One thing that was important to note out of that was that they were discussing that this would be paid out of ESSER funds, which is a federal COVID relief program. So this isn't coming out of like our typical funding. It's just it's something that's specifically there for COVID relief. And so, you know, I think it's a good program.
Whoever was providing this report was asked specifically, do we have enough money to do that? And he was like, yeah, we got plenty of money to do that. So it seems like this would be a beneficial thing for employees at RSD, whether it's teachers or faculty, other staff. And in my opinion, it's a great incentive to encourage vaccination. And I know and I hope that they can continue to use that money for other bonuses and benefits in regards to COVID. So
look, don't y'all just believe this out of the goodness of his heart.
Wife's a teacher.
His wife's full a teacher. Disclosure. That's all that's about. Look, he's like, yes, let's give all the teachers bonuses.
Because she became a teacher to make all that money.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, definitely. That's totally why everyone becomes a teacher, is for the pay and the the fame and fortune that comes
definitely
with it. Yeah.
The notoriety and influence and
totally.
And
so
dollar bills.
We have a couple of big topics tonight about the casino and about an investigation into the girls' high school basketball coach. But before that, I want to talk about a issue that popped up on Facebook. Somebody sent it to me. I love when y'all send me stuff that you see, because I'm as much as it seems like we might be on Facebook, I'm really not on that much. Like I'm way too busy.
Except the occasional, like once a month, I'll get on to argue with people.
Yeah, just like when I'm in a mood sometimes. Yeah. If I feel like picking a fight, I might. But so people send us stuff, which is great. And one of the things someone sent was about a woman had made a post that she had been incarcerated at the Polk County Detention Center and that they were experiencing a really severe COVID outbreak and wanted people to look into it. So I reached out to Sheriff Shane Jones and to the jail administrator, Captain Rowdy Sweet, who were both, you know, great. They were great at talking with me and answering my questions. You know, it's a weird situation because, like, this woman was very frustrated and concerned, reasonably so, because it sounds like there are, you know, people, this Delta variant, it's getting spread around. People are dealing with it. You know, but when I talked to the county side of it with the detention center, they seemed very much like they're trying to do the best they can, but they're kind of in an impossible situation. Like they, you know, the jailers, even the sheriff, they don't decide how long someone stays there, mm-hmm. you know? So there's all these different layers that end up with a lot of people being detained. So it sounds like they are experiencing some issues with COVID. They had everybody in the detention center tested on Sunday, and have not got results back from that yet, but are in the process of. They did have a pregnant woman who was incarcerated that got COVID and had to be transferred over to the hospital. But pregnancy related, not necessarily like a severe COVID issue, but it is something to be, you know, thoughtful of. Sheriff Jones in the past has done a good job of keeping the community informed of what's going on there. And, you know, putting it out on their Facebook page and being very transparent about it. So we're going to keep an eye on it. But I think that it is something, you know, to think about, because we have folks who are vulnerable, who are incarcerated, you know, up until this mask mandate was overturned. They wouldn't have been able to require anyone to wear masks in the detention center because it was a government entity. Mm-hmm. So just lots of things happening around COVID, of course. I mean, everybody's hearing about it and it's crazy.
Well, and I appreciate you saying what you said about the sheriff's transparency, because they were just extremely transparent, even connected us with public relations officer. Who was it that they connected us to?
With the jail administrator.
Yeah, jail administrator. Yeah, to be able to say, and he was very responsive and even offered to give us a tour. And I was like, well, let's kind of wait and see what the test results are before.
I do believe in masks, but I'm not trying to test the limit of that. but you know, we do want to keep an eye on it because, you know, sometimes it can be easy when folks have been in trouble or have had, you know, situations going on in their life to kind of put them out of mind and treat them like they're not
still human
beings who have concerns and fears and health issues to deal with. Yeah. And so, you know, I think this is an important thing to keep an eye on. And I'm glad to hear they tested everybody. I hope that people will, you know, follow up and pay attention to this so that that continues. It continues to have a good way of being handled.
Yeah. Janet says it may be connection, but you're not coming through. Janet, let us know if you can see and hear this or if anybody else is having issue with the stream. we do have some comments here. Why would you want to take a vaccine that they have to bribe you to take? Joy, appreciate your comment there.
Hey, I think that's kind of, you know, it's funny. Mm-hmm. This is something I thought of the other day because I see these posts, like people are like, well, why are they having to push it so hard? If they weren't pushing it so hard, I wouldn't be so skeptical. But then, you know, if they weren't pushing it, everybody be like, why aren't they talking about it?
Yeah.
Why is it a secret? Why aren't they doing more to let us know? Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? It's, I think it's one of those, it's such a hard situation. And people are reasonably skeptical of the system, of the government. Like, that's not a bad thing to be. But it is one of those where sometimes I'm like, but if they were doing it the other way, that wouldn't be okay either.
You know, I've talked to, I don't remember if I spoke about this last week, but literally in the last 2 weeks, I've talked to four different people that were worried about getting the vaccine. And they just asked me specific detailed questions, and I didn't try to like sway them one way or the other. I was literally just trying to say, well, like, here are the benefits for yourself. Here are the benefits for those around you. And then here are the things that are unsure. Like, these are there are things, like, I don't have to lie. I can give you the true information. And then it was literally just mostly came down to the fact that people were afraid to get a shot. Like, and I feel that, like, I'm, you know, that's kind of a base fear from a kid growing up, is like, ouchie, you know? And so, and I don't judge anybody because of that. Like,
no, not at all.
But also, to create a grand conspiracy, like, there are things out there that are conspiratorial, but this, in my opinion, and I'm not a doctor, so what I would recommend is that all of you who are concerned and worried consult your doctor. And that's what I said to all of them as well. And every one of them said, I'm going to get the shot now. And maybe they were telling me that to make me feel better. But, you know.
Nathan George is out here saving Russellville one person at a time.
Me. Like, I wasn't trying to, like, encourage people to get the shot.
Sure.
They were just like, hey, you're not a crazy person, or at least I don't think you are. Why should I get this? So.
Well, I'm glad you're doing good works out there, man. I left for 1 week and you've been just saving the world. It's really impressive. So casino.
Oh yeah.
Drama.
We haven't said that word in a while.
Lots of casino drama.
Well, we did talk about it last week.
So. Did you? I wasn't here, so I don't know.
Yeah, well, we talked about the Gulfside party on the street.
Yeah. They had the party. So the Supreme Court has gotten everybody's stuff, everybody's opinion and feedback and all that stuff. And yesterday, I think it was yesterday, there was an amicus brief filed, which what that means is it's basically like a letter to the court from a supporting party.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but this amicus brief came from the county, from the county judge, Ben Cross, basically saying that when Amendment 100 for the casino says that the county judge will issue the letter of support, it means the county judge in office at the time. But one of the things that he had with that, which was very compelling, was I think seven other county judges signed on because of this issue of how it could impact precedent around the powers of the county judge and the ability to change that or alter that. And so so it was interesting to read. I was very surprised to see it there. And it seems like a very compelling argument for the side that says that only the letter from Cherokee Nation or for Cherokee Nation business for Legends Casino, that is the only, you know, valid letter.
Right.
And that the license to Gulfside was invalid. Now, Gulfside argues that the opposite side, that their letter is actually valid. And that, you know, Cherokee's not a valid operator for some other reasons. So it's very interesting. But what gets me is, like, while all this has been going on, you know, everybody kind of knows what the county's been up to with Cherokee, with the economic development agreement, all the, you know, all the different things we saw play out over the last couple of years. It's like something about the late summer. Everybody gets hot and angry and gets really salty about casinos. So, yeah. So it's that time of year again. And this time, though, there's all this activity happening at the city level for Gulfside, and it seems like nobody's really paying attention to it.
Nobody's throwing fits and, like, trying to start a meeting, another group of the anti-casino people. Like, all those things exist. But you're right, the county kind of got hacked to pieces over this from an election standpoint, from a position of, like, if you were a quorum court member and you were pro casino, you basically aren't there anymore. I mean, there are a couple still there, but for the most part, they went through our local government and just, like, hacking people left and right. Mm-hmm. But the city has, now the city, to be fair, has been openly kind of anti-casino from the jump, at least from, like, the mayor's perspective. And whereas in the county, it was sort of the opposite. I mean, Judge Ben Cross was never like, yay, casinos, we love casinos, we want casinos, but he was like, yay, $38 million. And I'm in his court, I agree. Yes, yay, $38 million for our community. So I agree, there's not been as much of a political kind of hammer down from the public, because, like, we just had a planning commission meeting that was sort of a first steps development project meeting for Gulfside, and the planning commission voted, however, it was 7-1 to give them whatever, you know, codes and things that they needed to abide by to continue their development. Now, that's not to put shovels in the ground. It's all to do the development stuff, like the drawings, the engineering, the pre-planning.
Like the site plans, yeah, and things like that they were getting approved as part of the process. But, yes, you know, if this had been happening last summer, especially the summer before, people would have been losing their minds at the mayor for, you know, going over and now kind of supporting this casino that he had said, you know, he'd absolutely not support. So we have, it's really going to be interesting as this gets played out in court, that we're going to have, like, back to the city versus county sort of, like, gridlock, I think, where hopefully not gridlock, but I think that's what we're going to see depending on how this turns out, because one side's going to benefit from this and the other is not, and somebody's going to be really mad about it.
And it's not really fair to the city, in my opinion, because Legends doesn't have a piece of paper that says they have a license. Mm-hmm. So Gulfside does technically have a license in their hand. And so if Cherokee had a license, a piece of paper in their hand, and went to the city and got negative treatment from the planning commission or from the city, then I would say, you know, it's sort of this kind of back and forth with, you know, city choosing Gulfside versus the county choosing Cherokee Nation Business. But it's really they're the only one with the license right now, with the piece of paper that says this is a license. Now, it's all in litigation, and it's, you know, people can argue whether or not it's an actual license versus whatever, but the point of the matter is they had to have that piece of paper before anybody would talk to them about in a city meeting, in a planning commission meeting.
Now,
do you think I think Cherokee should go if that's the case.
I think that, you know, they were meeting with Gulfside before the license was issued. They, you know, this is all still tied up in court, and it very possibly could go towards Cherokee.
Right.
And, you know, if you're smart about this, you're trying to sort of play both sides.
I agree with that,
you know, 100%. So that you're not completely alienating the other side. And the thing that's concerning about that is that, you know, if you look at these briefs, the only side arguing that the old letter is valid from, you know, from the previous county judges valid is Gulfside. The state, the county judges, the other casino, of course, the Racing Commission, they're all arguing that, no, the letter has to come from the county judge in office. So, I mean, I think that there's a real risk here that Gulfside could lose this case, and then the city is sitting here with some really bad blood on their hands. I mean, that's, you know, not blood on the...
Right, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't mean that, like...
Political
blood. Yeah. Like, not blood on their hands, but, like, just bad blood between them and another... and a casino vendor who's going to bring a lot of money here. You know, I think that's unfortunate.
Yeah, well, I would definitely, if I was the city, reach out to Cherokee and say, hey, we want you to do the same. Like, because we don't want this to be a partisan effort. We want it to be an open...
Well, situation. I think the difference is that Gulfside is looking to open a temporary casino site, and Legends is not. So Legends wouldn't be coming here to say, like, hey, let me open a temporary site, which, I mean, I'm not down on that. I wish they would open a temporary site if they get the license, just because I'm ready to see that money. But they, you know, there is a difference there. I mean, that is fair to an extent, because they are kind of pursuing different goals at this stage, but it's crazy, and I hate to see that we don't have everybody kind of on the same side, not for one casino vendor, but on the same side for the community, to say, like, if we're going to have a casino, we're going to wait and be fair to whoever prevails. You know, I mean, I think it's kind of, I thought it was kind of surprising that Judge Cross submitted this amicus brief, that they did that, because it was a you know, he didn't have to do that. It was a good thing for them to do if you support Legends, but if you support, like, impartiality and saying, you know, I'm not going to take a side, then, you know, not a good call.
Well, he's definitely taking a side. Obviously. And it's hard for me. I'm on the fence about his decision to take a side or not, because he was so early in taking a side. Do you know what I mean? Like, he... And this is all opinion, so I haven't asked him any questions about this specifically, but this is just my own speculation, in that if he were to say now, you know, would he lose that relationship if Cherokee did end up getting the license in the future? Debbie makes a statement here. She says... the Planning Commission meeting was 90 minutes with many in opposition. Yes, I agree, Debbie. There were people in the room that were in opposition to casino, and mostly their opposition, with maybe a few of the speakers, was in what's this going to do if it's right here. So it was people from that area, the Bradley Cove neighborhood. Jim Knight was also there, and some of the other anti-casino folks. And they were in discussion about the traffic study and how was it going to affect how, you know, the different times of the day and the busyness. And here's what concerns me. And I, you know, if it's a manufacturing company that's coming into a specific place, the citizens that come to discuss to the city council are usually very, even if they're in opposition, are usually very respectful to the business themselves. But there was a ton of just, like, disrespect. And I don't mean, like, outward, like, you guys are awful kind of disrespect. But, like, in, like, one of the people even said, we wouldn't be here if it wasn't something that was untrustworthy, you know? Like, obviously there we can't trust them to do what they say because of all the litigation. And, like, the litigation has nothing to do with what they said or didn't say. Like, the litigation has to do with the fact that there was a decision made by an entity that multiple people were not in agreement about. So,
right.
Like, the decision that the litigation that was made has zero to do with Gulfside or CNB's decisions that they made, like, or things that they said. So
yeah, I mean,
it was very disrespectful, in my opinion.
It cracks me up when people say stuff like that, like, because I mean, anybody can file a lawsuit.
Yeah.
I could sue you. I could file a lawsuit against you right now, Nathan, and say that I think it is really unfair that you won't give me a diamond ring out of your store. Like, that is really unfair, and I'm going to take you to court over it. Now, a judge is going to tell me I'm ridiculous, yeah, and they're going to throw it out. But if I came and I had merit in that case, then they may continue it. That doesn't mean that necessarily you're a bad person or anything, or that you've done. But it is, you know, like, where is the law in this? And on this, it's not even like that some person or individual or even entity did wrong. It's more an argument over the technicality of the law and the issues around what changes a constitutional amendment and what doesn't. Mm-hmm. And that is a big deal. Like, it's not if you're not in politics, like if you don't do this kind of stuff, but if you do this stuff, this is something we talk about all the time, because it's a huge deal when you talk about setting precedent for other issues.
Yes.
Because decisions like this ripple out into other issues.
Yes.
That if we say this rule is allowed and can change a constitutional amendment, then the next rule that comes in on
something
minimum wage
mm-hmm.
may be allowed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so we have to, so these things get followed very closely for that reason. And it doesn't necessarily mean that any party involved did anything malicious or bad. It's just everybody has to go like, okay, this was a legal action that was taken, and the courts are the body that were through the founding of our country were set in place to analyze that and interpret
make
it.
Make sure everything is following to the letter. Thomas asked a really good question, and I want you to speak on this. It says, if a sitting county judge has to offer a letter of support, can a later sitting judge rescind that letter? And that is this discussion, really, that we're having of the definition of the county judge.
Well, I think what Thomas is asking may be a little different. So,
definitely different, but in the same scope of discussion.
Yes. So, okay. Now, obviously, I'm not a lawyer, so I could be wrong on this. But I think I'm not, or I wouldn't say it. I think if there was a letter, like, I don't think the county judge at this stage could rescind the letter from Jim Ed Gibson and, like, you know, invalidate the license that's already been issued.
Right.
If a letter was issued and before, you know, it was any action was taken on it, they might have been able to. But even that is questionable.
Especially since the whole amendment kind of hinges upon this specific letter.
Yeah. So it would be very unlikely that they could come back later. Like if Judge Cross wrote this letter now and then a license is issued and a casino is built, somebody cannot come back later and say, oh no, wait, we're going to undo that, take back the license, they can't operate this business. That's not going to happen. But, you know, if it was before anybody took any action, maybe like right around the time Jim Gibson had changed, but I really don't think even then that would have held up if they had done it at that time. So, yeah, no, I really don't think there's any path that works out.
Thomas also asked, has Legends requested the codes and rights to begin the building process from the city? If not, then the city has shown no favoritism. And that's what the point I was making, Thomas, is like if the decision is flip-flopped and somehow Legends is in the same position, then this city should not show favoritism to Gulfside and allow the same benefits to. And one of the Planning Commission members mentioned, you know, we don't want this to be a this or that, because we have the rules that you have to follow, and if you follow those rules, we are compelled to vote in favor. And so I thought that was, and he even cleared that up with the city attorney. Marsha asked a question, didn't the city jump on Gulfside's wagon to ensure that they wouldn't be left out of getting any money?
Well, I mean, my opinion on that would be sort of.
Well, and okay, so now for what is seems to be a point of contention between city and county, that the city was left out of some money discussion because they weren't brought to the table, says the county, and the city says we weren't asked to come to the table to discuss that money. So you know, again, there is a lot of, in my opinion, kind of petty goings on behind the scenes. But I don't think that this situation is that.
Well, and to be fair to everybody, you know, Gulfside's property that they're looking at is in city limits.
Yes.
Legend's property is in the county. It's outside of the city limits. Yes. And so there is separation there on that neither of them have any influence or control over.
Yeah, they couldn't judge on that property anyway.
Mostly,
it's not annexed.
I just kind of want folks to realize that, you know, if you were dragging the county judge for writing a letter,
right,
that's your perspective. But you might also want to check out what the mayor's doing right now. Just saying.
But what if he goes to your church?
Well, but he's gambling with Russellville's future. That's what I understand. And I think, I don't know, I saw that on a billboard.
It was a billboard or something, several
Don't
billboards.
Gamble with Russellville's future.
Even in state, city, county, there were several billboards that...
It was a catchy phrase.
Use that somewhat similar phrase. All right, let's move on. We know you guys are just dying to hear about more girls basketball news.
That was not how I would have framed that at all, but okay, yeah. Okay, so we're going to talk about this. This is about Coach Ryan Court, who we've covered this several times. So back in April, I believe it was, when Dr. Gocher was terminated by the school board.
You just want to repeat that? When Dr. Gocher was terminated by
the school board members, some of which are still there, they're all going to be up for election next year. Yes. I like to lean really close to the mic for that. So, okay, so when they terminated Dr. Gocher, we came across some documents in our FOI requests that said basically there was this issue where Dr. Gocher had asked Coach Court about different situations. Then Coach Court filed a grievance against Dr. Gocher. They had a closed grievance hearing. And then, like, 2 days later, I think, was when they terminated Dr. Gocher. So I'm not saying they terminated him over that grievance hearing, but y'all know. Y'all just look. That's all on our page. You can look on our Facebook page. There's a photo album that says Gocher under, like, the picture albums, and there's a video with the meeting. You can check all that there. But so I had circled back with the school board, or I'm sorry, not school board, with the school district, sent a new FOI request to get information on just where things are at now, what's going on, and received documents today that showed a further investigation into that, which was a big thing people were concerned about. Mm-hmm. That we wanted to make sure that, you know, with Dr. Gocher being terminated, this didn't just fall through the cracks when it concerns students, you know, and questions about appropriate behavior with female athletes, you know. And so some of the allegations were, you know, that they had had some students in a room, in a hotel room, to talk with them without calling their parents late at night, issues with the language and the way the coach speaks with the players, things like that. And so this investigation was really, I mean, it was interesting to read.
It's pretty in-depth from a concern. Like, if you were a parent of a basketball player, would you definitely be concerned in these situations? And so, I mean, definitely thankful that there was an investigation. I don't know if there's going to be any future, like, decisions from the school board towards the coach. Based upon this, it's just we wanted to make sure that you had the, as much as we could share the information, be made available to everyone so that you could make your own.
I mean, you know, even the students in the interviews had kind of mixed feedback on how they felt about the way he coached. And so, you know, I mean, I was a cheerleader. I didn't play, like, basketball or anything like that. So I never had, like, a coach that yelled at me.
You carried pom-poms?
Shut your mouth. I was an athlete.
Yes, you cheerleaders are athletes. 100%.
Yes, they are. Yeah. I'm not.
I just didn't really picture you in pom poms, though. Sorry.
I'm gonna beat you up with some pom poms later. You just wait. So okay. So, you know, but really, for athletes, sometimes, like, the yelling and coaches and stuff doesn't really faze them that much. For some, it's more bothersome, and you see that kind of played out in these in this questionnaire between the different, and the student names are redacted because the school has a responsibility to protect their privacy. There are some other documents I'm going to put out later on tonight, probably when I get home, that have they have video clips of issues like allegations about him like yelling at players and stuff during games that are included. And then there's one thing that was really interesting. So I also had FOI'd his previous employment records because I'm an asshole like that. Like I just went and checked it all out. And he and so there's this note in there from the acting superintendent that I haven't posted yet. I'm gonna post this later. About how Coach Court allegedly had not been attending to one of his classes and leaving students unsupervised. And so I was reading through this, and it was just like, oh my gosh, this is so wild. Because one of his previous schools, almost the exact same situation that's in his file there that I have. And so I'm going to post that later just because I was like, well, isn't this interesting? As far as I know, nothing has been, no action's been taken on this by the school board, to the best of my knowledge. There is still, we talked about a couple weeks ago, I think there's still a pending FOI lawsuit that Coach Core has filed against the school district for not turning over records.
Right, there were some documents that he wanted he's not received.
They're on our page, Coach, if you'd like to grab them. I think I've already received everything you asked for, so you can just get it off of our Facebook page.
I'm sure that I want.
Oh, you know they're looking. So, but that case is still kind of pending because all the judges have recused themselves. That's kind of one of the downfalls of being something with, you know, like being a local coach or something in Pope County, and all of our elected judges are from Pope County, even though the district covers Johnson, Pope, and Franklin. So, whenever something like this happens in Pope County, everybody has to recuse themselves and they have to bring in an outside judge. Mm. It's drama. But anyway, so yeah, that is all going to be, we're still going to be adding to that and trying to kind of explain it and give more information over the next couple days. And then I have some other records that I'm supposed to receive on Friday that we'll, I'll go through over the weekend because I have no social life.
FOI mood lately, just requesting all the documents.
You know,
listen, hey, I'm very thankful to them for sending us the information.
And the district's been great to work with on sending over documents. There were times, where there had been some issues, but they have a new administrator handling that, and she's been fantastic to work with. You know, I mean, I'm bless her because she has to deal with a lot from me. And public records are like my best friend. I mean, that's how
you
sad.
You should get better friends.
I should have better friends.
Drew says, Nathan versus Kristen in a pom-pom cage match. Only on Patreon.
Patreon.
For those of you, that's a good segue, Drew. Thank you for that. For those of you who would like to support our show, you can become a patron on Patreon. You can subscribe to our podcast. You can send us money via Cash App. Cash App is the $ Beard Sass. It kind of looks like Beard's ass, but it's really Beard Sass. Also, all of our social media and website are Beard Sass something. So if you're looking for us on the web, you can find us at Beard Sass. Yes, and podcast, please, please, please subscribe to our podcast. For those of you listening to our podcast now, we really, really appreciate you because we're not having to look a certain specific way because we're not on video to you, and you don't care how we look.
You're welcome.
So just kind of segue towards the end of our show here. You know, there's been some really interesting statewide news going on. I want to talk about Michael John Gray leaving the statewide Democratic Party to take another job. And then we saw some video of a senator showing up in his workout outfit in a committee meeting, or a meeting that wasn't a committee meeting, but was just a meeting of actually elected officials trying to listen to people, which so rarely happens. And he was just like,
So, okay, if you are not on Twitter, get on Twitter and look up Trent Garner, Arkansas State Senator Trent Garner. Don't look at his Twitter, but go look for videos of him because they're hilarious.
He is not, however.
No, hilarious. He is a rage monster. But so okay, this was like, you know, session was intense. It was wild down there.
It was just a 2-day session.
Three days. But it was really insane down there. I mean, I've never experienced anything like it. The amount of like hostility and fighting that was happening. But so there had been this issue where they were trying to bring somebody's trying to run a bill that would have like let people take their tax money and run if they didn't like the way masks were being handled at their school, right? So they wow. Yeah, so obviously that was not going to happen.
Yeah.
But there were people who had come to speak on the bill, and they decided they weren't going to run it even though people had showed up.
Right.
So a couple of legislators said, "Hey, you know, informally, we'll stay and listen to you because you drove here, you can't come back."
Yeah, these concerns.
Yeah, you know, it's informal, it's not going to be official record or anything like that, but just to take the time to hear you out. Well, somebody texted Senator Garner and told him that they were having like a secret meeting. And we've heard about some secret meetings, y'all, but they're different. Yeah. The legislature has different rules around meetings because they write the rules, so they get special rules.
They can have secret.
It's not secret if it's them.
Right.
But anyway, so he comes busting up in there, like with his keys in his hand and his flip-flops on and his sweaty workout clothes, yelling at everybody, freaking out.
Looking like a rounder version of Chris Daughtry.
He looked like like somebody,
like if Stone Cold Steve Austin was 5'7".
That's generous. He and not buff, just a little round, but and really sweaty. Like that was the part that killed me. So he was like, I think he was. He said he was lifting weights. Sure. But whatever he was doing, he was very stressed, and he got down there. And then it was funny because you could see him. If you watch the video, you can see him like looking around and making eye contact with a camera, and like reading the room and going like, "Oh shit!"
Like realizing, okay,
I've embarrassed myself over nothing.
Gone way too far.
That was the peak moment of special session last week. If you had to summarize the entire vibe in like one moment, it was that moment when Garner busted in like the Kool-Aid man and yelled at everybody. It was great.
Well, so things were interesting last week without you. I didn't put my foot in my mouth, and I didn't say the F word.
I saw there were some pretty good quotes pulled out from you about breathing people's vapors and stuff, though. Like, I was enjoying
my wife was creating t-shirt moments.
I love it. It was great.
Some comments here. Judy Murphy says, students would have mixed messages on something like this because they're afraid of repercussions from coaches if they don't toe the line. And she says, as a parent, she would be greatly concerned.
Yeah, you know, that's a really good point. One of the things I noticed in there was, like, he had asked on a questionnaire, it said he'd asked on a questionnaire to all of the players, like, if they wanted to be coached, like, and it had it redacted, but I'm going to assume they mean his daughter.
Or a particular player,
but his daughter's a prolific player from where he says she's really talented, and so, you know, to be coached like her. And of course everybody says yes, because who's going to be like, nah, be nice to me? Mm-hmm. Like, how's that going to work out for you? I don't have to be an athlete to understand that that is not going to go well. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think that is a very valid point, that when you're asking students stuff like this, like, you know, they're under a lot of pressure to think, like, they're, you know, thinking about how it's going to impact people and themselves and everybody 15, and, you know, 16. Their kids. Yeah. And so, you know, that's a good point to make, is that, you know, sometimes the answers may be influenced by, you know, other factors.
Maybe we shouldn't just judge their answer based on merit of what they are saying. Like,
well, I mean, I don't want to discount
nuance.
Right. I mean, they're kids. Yeah. You know, I want to take. I don't want to discount things they're saying. Like, I don't want. Yeah. I'm not saying that, because it's you know, they're valid opinions and takes on things, and maybe some of them really have no issue with how it was going. That's totally fine. Yeah. But you know, yeah, there could be kids who felt uncomfortable.
For sure. That. Yeah. So Sarah says, isn't it nice not having to censor yourselves? And I don't, honestly, here's the thing. I don't think we ever really censored
That's
ourselves.
That's why we aren't there anymore. It's because we didn't censor ourselves and just finally took it too far.
But we definitely don't have to worry about losing a job or a part-time job or a, you know, losing a platform because we say whatever we want to say.
Yep. So. I want to finish up one thing, because Thomas left a quote, a little caption here, or a comment here, that I think is great. He said, "You can coach hard without being disrespectful. That's leadership." Mm-hmm. And I think that's such a good point, because you don't have to be a jerk, even though as an adult, sometimes I really enjoy it.
Most of my favorite coaches growing up in my athletic time, which was very short, mostly just in high school, you can be hard, but with respect. Like, you can gain respect from players without being an asshole. Like, that's...
Yeah, totally.
So, yeah. Well...
Fun times.
Yeah. Anything else?
I think that's all I've got. This was good. I missed doing this last week, yeah. And I am not ready for school to start next week with the kiddos.
I'm ready to send them kids to school, but I'm not.
I love my kids, but I'm ready for them to go to school. But I don't have myself prepared for it. Like, I need to go buy school supplies. And stuff.
You mean like logistically?
Prepared. I'm just not ready. Like.
Well, for those of the rest of you who are also not prepared or slackers like us, we appreciate you watching our show and listening to it on the podcast. Please share this with your friends. Let them know about the goings on in the River Valley, politically and otherwise. And we will see you guys next week.